The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they are fun. Terrific T back with us, and she does an excellent job, so listen for those. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. 5, 4, 3. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use? Probably won't, but we could, and we probably should. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Always a valid question. And Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we just don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that thing which happens to be pretty important for all of us who are Bible-believing, born-again Christians who love Jesus Christ and know that he has forgiven us of our sins. We want to figure out that process. Sometimes we go to church and we're not doing all that great. And by the time we come out of church, we're, oh yeah, I'm doing a lot better. And sometimes it happens in Bible study and worshiping at different times. But there's those off times where you just feel like, woe is me. Woe is me. And so we want to talk about that, encourage you through that. Our whole goal, it's not complex, help everybody, ourselves included, get one step closer to the Lord just to be encouraged in the Lord. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, if you have a prayer request, if you have a praise report, if you want to answer Bible trivia, which we do later on, if you have a general question that we might be able to help you with right off the top, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Our number here is 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Terrific T answers the phone, and that's terrific. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email us. Oh, that's fun. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org, which leads us to the website. There are a couple of new pictures. There's two new pictures up there. One from when the kids were all together and we went to the zoo. The other one is from our happenings just a couple days ago. You're welcome to check them out. Go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so a couple things I want to tell you. Some things will make you smile. Some things will make you think, what is wrong with Dave? And then other things will make you think, what is wrong with Dave? So the first thing is we had a wonderful time. Julianne and Jared came down with Addie Bug, Isaiah, Anthony, and Easton Scott. We saw them every day that they were here. We actually went to the place where they did a small little B&B in Rockwall. It was tons of fun. We had a great time. It was just awesome to be around the kids and to hang out with all of them. That was fantastic. I just want to thank everybody for the prayers and the nice comments. I put some things up on Facebook. I don't do a lot on Facebook. So if I put a picture up, it probably means, oh, there's got to be something going on there. So if you want to check it out, you're welcome to. But again, I'm not a big participant there. But the pictures say a lot. We had a wonderful time. Just keep them in prayer. They got back safely. Everything is fine. Number two, I could use some prayer because, as you know, a couple weeks back, I twisted up my ankle a little bit, and everybody gave me good advice on how to get it fixed. What we didn't talk about was, how do you get through walking through the zoo and then having the dogs tangle you up, then going on two additional walks with all the family members and having it twist off the curb twice? Haven't talked about that. So right now, my ankle is about the size of a grapefruit. I'd like it to shrink down to the size of a plum. That would be great.
Aww.
I know. Is that terrible? And my wife says it really well. Do you know how to walk? That's what I'm getting for my wife. And then here's something that most of you will just find amusing. So we rent. We have never told anybody anything different. We have a great house for the money. The person is involved in the Billy Graham Ministry Evangelistical Association. Just a great family. They're all really nice to us. And so I went out, and as you know, Sunday, the mail doesn't go out. And then Monday was the holiday, right? So, you know, today we're back to normal. Well, anyway, I had put the check in the mail knowing that it wouldn't matter if I put it in Sunday or Monday because it wasn't going out till Tuesday. I put it in the mail, and I closed the little mail lid thingy. You know, it's a regular mailbox. I'm driving this morning heading down to the studio, and it turns out that the little cover on our mailbox fell down. And guess what happens when it rains sideways in the mailbox? So I looked and I picked up the rent check. Now, I'm not kidding. This morning. And it was dripping wet. The stamp had come off. It was a mess. So I reached out to the homeowners. They're all cool about it. But the little thing came down. And then the water went all over. It was a mess. And all the mail was all messy. Okay. Anyway, I thought you guys might find that amusing. Let's go right into some of the things I do want to talk about. And this is coming out of, do we cover everything? We're good on everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 10, says this: "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly righteous and blameless we conducted ourselves with you believers." Paul is giving his visit time with them some, you know, backup, because he's like, you know, you saw when we were with you that we were righteous, we were devout, we were blameless, we were well-behaved. But he says something funny that a lot of people will say, and most people think it doesn't mean anything, but it does. It says, "You are witnesses, and so is God." Now, I want to bring that up for a second, because what people will often say, they'll often say in the moment of feeling uncomfortable, "God is my witness," right? You'll hear that saying, and you've heard it often. Well, it comes from here, if you're trying to figure out where its origins are from. But that's not the bigger implication. So the idea when somebody says to you, "God is my witness," what they're trying to say is, whatever I'm saying is absolutely true. Okay, that is correct, that God is a witness to that. But what is being skipped is that God is a witness who sees everything you do and I do, even the things that should not be defended. I'm not trying to be mean. This applies to me probably even more so than to you in a certain sense. When I do something that nobody else sees, God is still witness. And that is not the time to use that phrase as though it's a positive, in the sense that it's not always. If I do something wrong and nobody knows but me, God still knows. And what's important to understand, especially if you get into the book of James chapter 4, you get to find out that James equates covetousness with killing, okay? And the point he's trying to make is God sees everything all the time. And so when Paul lays it out and says, we're working night and day, so we're not a burden to you. We talked about that the other week. You are our witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly and righteous and blameless we conducted ourselves with you believers. He's saying, look, let's pull God down right now. Let's have him testify, and let's see if our behavior was all that we're saying it is and a bag of chips. And in his case, it was. In my case, it often is mostly, for the most part. But then God is also my witness against the things that I do that are wrong. And if I do something that's wrong, God is also a witness to that. There is nothing that you say, nothing that you think, and nothing you do that God does not have a record of. Now, by his grace, he does not take all those things and flash them on a billboard for the world to see, because that would be tough. But the reason I'm bringing this up is personal and is corporate. And that is, we need to remember there's nothing that's done in secret. There's nothing that we do. If we do something wrong, if we do something, let me use this phrase, but be careful how I use it. If we do something sneaky, okay, you know, the Lord knows. He knows what's going on in our heart, and he knows what's going in our mind. Now, lest you think I've done something dramatic, let's not go too far overboard. But what I'm trying to teach us collectively is God is watching night and day for everything we think, do, and say. God is watching night and day for everything we think, do, and say. He's aware of what's going on in our lives. This is why the scripture says where grace does abound, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound, is that we should be leaning that much more upon the Lord, knowing that we are falling short in certain ways and his mercy is greater. What does the scripture say? Mercy triumphs over judgment. And it's like, that's good news, isn't it? Mercy triumphs over judgment. But always remember, God is watching. You ever feel like your life is on display? It is. Aha! Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, 11, and 12. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. da, da, da. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready to go with our very first trivia question. Now, this has a twofold answer, so we're looking for the original place. Where is this passage located originally? The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's keep in mind, I'm looking for the original. There is a New Testament reference. I'm not looking for that one. I'm looking for the Old Testament reference. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. I'm just going on the assumption that you didn't think I was going to come back and give you something really easy. Yeah, I've been gone. You got to have it right to it. You know, it's just like that. All right. What else do we need? Do we need to cover anything? I don't think you got the DNA already done. We got that done. We did the website. We did this. All right. So I'm going to offer up that trivia question. I'm going to go right into this teaching. But I want to finish on this teaching because it's important in its context with the other verses. That's why I set it up the way I did. Or hopefully that's why I set it up the way I did. Bottom line is the trivia question. Where originally in the context of what book does it say the grass withereth and the flower fadeth away? But the word of our God shall stand forever. I'm looking for the book of which that is in the Old Testament. If you think you know, reach out to us, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483 on the text. I want to go back to this 1 Thessalonians portion, okay? Again, if you're going to call in, let me just say this again. If you're calling in, call in the 972, okay? That's the number you want to call in on. See, people who call in on this line, it's like, wrong line. 972-445-0770. Okay, back to the Thessalonians text, what we were just talking about when Paul starts in verse 10, you are witnesses, and so is God, of our devoutly righteousness and blameless conduct that we had amongst you as believers. As you know, like a father with his children, we encouraged, comforted, and implored each one of you to live worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Wonderful portion here because what Paul's saying, look, we were amongst you. We did good. We worked hard. We weren't a burden. We were very devout. We were very righteous. We were very blameless. And we conducted ourselves in such a way, and you know this to be true, listen to this, like a father was with his own children. Paul expressing a family-style connection to the church at Thessalonica, saying then this, and this is a great word, not just for fathers, but for everybody, like a father with his own children, first, we encouraged. Just let that sit. Do you know what a great dad does? A great dad encourages. Does that mean a great dad never disciplines? Nope. Does that mean a great dad never has to, you know, change direction? No. A great dad encourages. That's what a great dad does. Encouragement is the strongest form of support You pray for one another, and we know we're praying for one another. And let me just say this. You pray for one another, and that's, of course, bringing God into a situation in a certain sense where you're partnering with God and going through something. But when you're an encouragement to somebody, you are making a direct connection to them, and you are saying to them, by encouraging them, I am for you. And do you know how rare it is to hear, I am for you? Do you know why people struggle as much as they do? Because there's just not enough, I am for you. And a great father, and we're going to get to all three of these principles, but the first thing a great father does, he encourages. If you're a dad, or if you're going to be a dad, or if you're a granddad, or if you're a great-granddad, or if you're a great-great-great-granddad, you're probably pretty old if you're a great-great-great-granddad, here's the bottom line. Be encouraging as best you can. Even if you see something, like I go to my son's house, he's got a beautiful house, this is my eldest, he's doing a lot of things, and I'm very, very proud of him. But what does a dad typically do in a family? He goes, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Because it's one of those natural, almost fleshy-like things. Instead, you've got to be conscious as a dad and say, you're doing great. I'm really proud of you. You are making steps beyond what I could do. My son's doing so much better than me, I almost don't want to tell him that. It's almost like, you know, I have to rein or keep my rein as a parent. It's just so ridiculous. It's like, look, a good father, a good parent encourages. And then he says the very next thing. As you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged. And the next thing he says is comforted. Can I say that the idea that the mom is supposed to be the comforter sounds interesting in our culture, but is not biblical. Okay, when you see movies and the father goes, you know, I'm your father. I'm not your best friend. I'm not here to comfort you. That's not biblical. Biblical is a father does comfort. And sometimes, and don't misunderstand how I'm saying this, but sometimes there's almost a deeper impact when a father puts his arm around you and comforts you. Because it's such a rarity, it's a uniqueness. And so if you're a parent, you want to be able to be encouraging and you want to be able to be comforting. And if you're a dad, don't give me the emotions and men don't cry. Okay, if you were ever more a man of Jesus than Jesus was, I'd like to know. If you were more of a man than Moses was, I'd like to know. That ain't true. And so what parents and fathers should do is encourage and comfort. And then the last thing he says is implore you. So it's not as though the father's not trying to direct, but that is the last of the three. First, the father is encouraging. Next, the father is comforting. Then the father is imploring. Because when you're encouraging and when you're comforting, then that imploring, you're trying to redirect somebody, direct somebody in the proper way, then that has more power because you've laid the groundwork of encouraging and comforting. Does that make sense? So you lay that groundwork. And then he says this. This is what I want to connect to the prior verse. I said, you are witnesses and so is God, of how devoutly, righteously, and blamelessly we conducted ourselves with you as believers, as you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged and comforted and implored each one of you to live worthy of God. This is the part. Don't get mad at me. To live worthy of God. In other words, you are witnesses, and so is God, on whether or not we are living worthy of God. Your church, your fellowship, this show, people that you're directly connected with like that, you're probably doing pretty good there. I mean, I'm just saying. It's all the other hidden spots. It's all the other things that are tucked away. That also has to be worthy of God. I'm not telling you what your secret thing there is or your besetting sin. I'm not even bringing that up. I'm simply saying that the Lord knows every nuance, and in every nuance, we need to be worthy, walk worthy of God, and live. Not just walk, live as in like let it be every part of our being. Am I doing a good job of that? No. I'd give myself A, B, C. I'm a pretty A-oriented guy. I'd give myself a C-.
I think it's better than a D, just not a lot, you know, just like right at that level. And why is that? Because there's things in my life that shouldn't be there that I'm the one that's letting in there. I'm letting those things in. It's horrible. But God knows. Is he merciful? Sure. Does he like those things? No. How do you know? The Holy Spirit convicts you. The Word of God convicts you. Your wife convicts you. See how that works? It's that stuff. And it's like, oh, Lord. You know, you can't do this. I've done so much for you, God. It's like that's not a plea bargain that works in the kingdom of God. So just lose that one, okay? If you're living a life and in the privacy of your life, you're not living worthy of God. God knows, and God wants you to live worthy of Him. That's important, okay? It's important for us to do it right. For anybody that thinks we don't talk about sin on this show, yabza. We do plenty of that. Here's the bottom line. Live worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. And what's the motivation to do that? I'll tell you, so keep it as simple as you can. Ready? He loves you. And by doing the right things before him, you're demonstrating your love back to him. It's not a legalism. It's respect. It's honor. It's appreciation. That's what it is. See what I'm saying? That's the kind of stuff we need to be operating. That gets into the deeper, nitty-gritty parts of Christianity. You don't want to be a surface Christian, do you? I mean, when the going gets tough, then the surface Christian gets going somewhere else, just not towards the Lord. Okay, the trivia question. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord God stands forever. Originally, that is found in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. It's also found, I think, in 1 Peter. I think it's 1 or 2 Peter, one of the two. And so it's got other references, but its origin comes into Isaiah chapter 40, for those that are wondering. Okay, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi, I don't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it was kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love.